Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You are listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Texans and Niners tomorrow night at NRG Stadium. The preseason home opener. It's about as dramatic as I can build it up to be, unless you're betting the game. Texans favored 2.5. The outcome is immaterial. It's just coach speak. Well, we're trying to build a winning mentality, blah, blah, blah. The bulk of playing time will be garnered by a number of guys who won't be on these teams when September 9th and the first Sunday of the season gets here. So it's with a little bigger, broader picture in mind that we welcome Joe Fan. Now, that is a good game for a journalist, though we demand objectivity here. Joe Fan on the beat, 49ers.com. Charlie here in Houston. I trust you're enjoying our heat and humidity the couple of days of the joint practices, Joe. Let's start with this. The Texans' hopes fundamentally ride on Deshaun Watson's health. There are no health questions off last season with Jimmy Garoppolo, but from 0-9, the trade happens. He throws a late score, ending one game, then wins his last five starts. Is optimism out of control or wholly warranted for the $137 million signal caller for the Niners? Is he better than Montana? Is that the consensus already out there?
Oh, certainly. Probably Montana and Steve Young combined.
But what about him, though? Well, are they thinking they can take down the Rams? 5-0, obviously, the games didn't mean anything other than trying to rechart a course of mattering. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. How solid are they that this guy's going to be in the Aaron Rodgers type conversation a couple of years from now, if not this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, the hype is warranted to a degree. I mean, if any team can understand the value of having a quarterback, it's the Texans. I mean, you saw just how drastically their fortunes changed when Deshaun Watson went into the lineup, but then how drastically they changed when he got injured, right? I mean, they don't put up, 45 points or whatever it was in Seattle by accident. And I think it's the same with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, you know, you saw a complete shift in this entire team, you know, the entire confidence level of the team, both offensively and defensively, was greatly increased. And you saw guys really step up and make plays for Jimmy. I think he made the guys around him better. You know, you looked at Marquise Goodwin, who looked like a bona fide NFL wide receiver, really for the first time in his career, right? I mean, he's, you know, kind of been hit and miss, inconsistent, always had the talent, but really flourished those last five games. Trent Taylor, really promising rookie. George Kittle, same thing at the tight end spot. So, you know, I think you get it, right? I mean, it's understandable why the 49ers have so much hype surrounding them. I think everyone within the team understands that as well. But I think at the same time, it's far too soon to be like, oh, man, this team is destined for, you know, the playoffs and the Super Bowl run and all that. I mean, you know, quite frankly, they haven't done anything yet, and it's a lot different going 5-0 down the stretch when your season's long been over and you're playing with house money, so to speak, and when you're trying to either win a division or secure a wild card spot. So it's exciting. I think this team is certainly far better than it was a year ago, obviously Jimmy being a big part of that, but really improvements throughout the roster elsewhere. But yeah, I think it's still wait-and-see mode with how this team does, especially with a tough schedule to open the season.
In terms of the weaponry, you alluded to Goodwin, University of Texas product. I don't think they have what you'd consider a number one type wide receiver, but Dante Pettis, second-round pick, son of Astros, third base coach Gary Pettis, apparently looking good so far. Pierre Garçon joins the fray. The other Celek, Garrett Celek, a tight end. Your thoughts on what they have in weaponry? And I know Carlos Hyde was no Barry Sanders, but what about the running game?
Yeah, I think in general you see a lot of weapons. I mean, you might not have the one DeAndre Hopkins, but you've got several who can be dangerous. And I think Kyle Shanahan is just fine with that. There's no point, you know, this is the way he put it during the offseason. There's no point in, you know, paying a guy like he's Julio Jones if he's not Julio Jones. And quite frankly, you know, there aren't many guys who are Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins or Antonio Brown, right? So, you know, he's going to go about it with finding guys with specific traits to fill specific roles. And if there's anybody who knows how to maximize a playmaker's talent, it's Kyle Shanahan. And you look at Jerick McKinnon, a guy he targeted during the offseason, right? A lot of people around the country are still skeptical of that signing, but clearly Kyle Shanahan sees something in McKinnon that he thinks he can really unlock within his offense. He's nursing a calf injury. He's not going to play on Saturday. They're just going to make sure he's healthy for week one, but he's going to be a big piece. Matt Breida, undrafted free agent. He had a nice season last year. He's going to be the number two, and then you've got a host of guys going for that number three spot in terms of the running game. So I think you have plenty of options, right? Kyle Juszczyk, they brought him here for a reason. One of the more versatile fullbacks in the league, can, you know, allow you to do quite a few different things and keep defenses on their toes with his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. You saw that in Houston last year, like, what, 35-yard catch down the sideline. Also, you know, a traditional fullback as well. You mentioned Garrett Celek. Had a big game last year here in Houston. George Kittle, a guy that the 49ers are really high on, second-year tight end out of Iowa. And then you said, you know, the receivers. You have Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin, and Pierre Garçon, all guys who can beat you in different ways. So while, yeah, there's not that one guy, Kyle Shanahan confident that he's got the pieces that, you know, they can still put together a productive offense.
Talking with Joe Fan on the 49ers beat. Defensively, first-round picks 2015, 16, 17 on the defensive line. Should this be the year of explosion? The overall numbers haven't been good. Add in one-time Texan Earl Mitchell as another component of the front four.
Yeah, I think this is a big year for the defensive line. And I think if you talk to any 49ers fan, you ask them what they're concerned about most, the pass rush. Right now, I mean, Cassius Marsh and Jeremiah Tauchu were two guys who were expected to lead the charge off of the edge, and they've got 16 combined career sacks. So, well, you know, maybe they do have potential and they could be great, but we just don't know yet. So you're banking on guys who haven't done it before. DeForest Buckner is an absolute stud. I would say he's one of the best-kept secrets in the NFL. Just hasn't had much help on the defensive line. You alluded to the other first-round picks, like Eric Armstead, just hasn't been able to stay on the field, hasn't been able to stay healthy. Right now he's nursing a hamstring injury. So he's got to get healthy and show that he can be consistent. Solomon Thomas, first-round pick last year, was solid but unspectacular. And as a third overall pick, you know, fans were expecting more out of him, far too early to call him a bust. But let's see how he does in 2018. I think, you know, he's expected to be a huge piece of this team this season. So I think there are a lot of question marks. I think if you're looking at, you know, a big concern on the defense or a potential pitfall, I think it could be the pass rush. They ranked 26th last year, got just 30 sacks, and there really wasn't a huge addition, you know, personnel-wise during the offseason. The one caveat with that is the 49ers have been a team that's been playing from behind predominantly, you know, for the last couple of seasons. And so when you're not playing with leads, you know, the opportunities to get sacks can be few and far between. I think the 49ers have traditionally been, last couple of years, in the top five of rushing attempts faced. So that just kind of tells you the game flow of each game that, you know, this team has been playing in the last couple of years.
Joe, their other first-rounder a year ago was Reuben Foster out of Alabama, who went on the field, is just a tremendous player. The bigger concern with Foster, durability or character?
Yeah, I think they're both concerns. I mean, I think he's got to show he can stay healthy. Last year you saw, you know, several times he's got, you know, little stingers and here and there that are taking him out of games. He had an ankle injury and, earlier in the year. So, you know, I think hopefully, you know, you think an offseason to get stronger and build up his body will help him, you know, be a little bit more durable during the season. And I think they've been really focusing on his tackling technique, taking his shoulders out of the play a little bit, really working, you know, on his form to take some of the impact off of his shoulders. So, they can survive a little bit better throughout the season. And obviously the off-field stuff, it's been well documented. And I think the 49ers have certainly put him on notice that, you know, this isn't going to be tolerated. If you want to be a part of this team, this organization for the future and years down the road, we expect this of you. And so I think, you know, he's well aware and, you know, I can't make any predictions whether, you know, he's got it all figured out and is going to be on the straight and narrow from here on out. But I think that's certainly a big part of the equation as well.
What's the line straddled of hope versus expectation in terms of Richard Sherman's performance level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think with Sherman, I think his belief in the coaching staff that, you know, he's a quick healer. They believe in, you know, his mentality. I think in general, if you're going to have a guy like him of his caliber willing to bet on himself financially, that's a guy, you know, I would get behind, and players have gotten behind. You know, you see just what the impact he's had on the younger guys on the roster. He is certainly the leader of the defense immediately, even having just arrived a few months ago. But certainly, I think he's, you know, you could argue he's the biggest wild card on the team, because I don't think you really understand or really know what to expect from him. One, if he's just able to stay healthy and on the field. But two, what percent of, you know, vintage Richard Sherman are you getting, right? Even if you get 80% of Richard Sherman, that's an impact player who can help. You know, if you're looking at, you're on the fringe of being in the playoffs, he's a guy who could push you over the top. You know, just a guy who is so savvy, so technically sound, is going to make everyone else around him better. The leadership standpoint, I don't think, can be overstated. But yes, I think in terms of his on-field play and his ability to stay healthy, certainly a wild card for the 49ers heading into the season.
You referenced the schedule earlier in the conversation. Just a couple of other things before I let you go, Joe. I draw the line through the first seven games. Man, open at the Vikings, then home versus the Lions. Better win that one. At Kansas City, at the Chargers, home for the Cardinals. Better win that one. At Green Bay, and then home for the Rams. If they're 3-4 through seven games, I mean, not that they'd come out and say so now, but if they're 3-4, you think they're thinking, we're all right as the schedule, at least on paper, eases up and you try to make a push the second half of the season? Because if they're not pretty good pretty early, they can get buried in the starting gate.
Yeah, it's a nightmare to open the season. I think it's, like you said, you take one quick glance and it's easy to take that away from it. And I think certainly you just have to keep your head above water. Hover around that 500 mark. If you can get through eight games at 4-4, there's no reason why you can't get hot at the end of the season and make a push for a wild card spot. So it's all about not burying yourself early, like you said. I think it's pretty much as simple as that. I mean, this, you know, the second you can't go 0-5 to start the season and expect to climb out of that hole and make the playoffs. So, you know, I think the margin in the NFL is also, you know, so small. You saw this 49ers team, even, you know, as poor as it was last year before Jimmy Garoppolo got there, five consecutive losses by 3 points or less. I mean, you know, the margin of this league is just so small. So you look at a team, you know, who's 8-8 at the end of the season, you'll look back and say that easily could have been 10-6. And on the other side, it probably easily could have been 6-10. So you just got to find a way to win a couple close games. The challenge is most of those are on the road to open the season. But I would agree with you. You've got to keep your head above water. You've got to find a way to be in that 4-4 range by the midway point.
Lastly, covering the NFC foremost, I'm not looking for any intricate detail on the Texans, but I say 2018 Houston Texans to you. The first couple of things that come to mind.
For me, it's the quarterback. I mean, again, you just if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, unless your defense is just, you know, 2013 Seahawks, you know, early 2000s Ravens, I mean, you're just not going anywhere. And you saw that with the Texans last year. Granted, I think they had injuries at other spots as well, which is big, right? I mean, you don't have J.J. Watt in the field. That's, you know, an enormous loss. But the fact that Deshaun Watson is back healthy, you saw what he did last year. Again, I go back to that Seahawks game. As a rookie, you walk into that building, and I don't care how much, you know, how much the Seahawks defense had regressed. You don't go out in there in that environment, in that house, and put up almost 50 points, or maybe they did put up 50, and go toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson throughout the entire game by accident. I think he's a special player. I think everyone can see that. He was a special player in college. They traded up to get him for a reason. And so I think, you know, it's hard to put the entire season have a hinge on him. But at the same time, it's a quarterback-driven league. And I think these two teams, the 49ers and Texans, know that all too well.
Texans trying to make a leap and reel in the Jaguars, hoping Jacksonville comes back a little bit. The Niners somewhat similarly with the Rams in the NFC West. Joe Fan on the 49ers beat, 49ers.com. Hey, appreciate the time and insight. We'll look for you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, way past our break at the top of the hour. It happens, so we do a little catching up there. Get things legal, and in the second hour of the program, it's a Houston Bay Area-tinged weekend, Astros A's in particular. Vince Catronio, A's radio voice, after 12:30. 12:02 now on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is Tony Kemp for the Houston Astros. More of the Charlie Polillo shows coming up on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in...
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.